Welcome to Responsible Management. That's a podcast from the University of Bradford School of Management as part of our offer for our knowledge transfer network, the support that we offer for small businesses in and around our locality. Delighted today to be joined by two Rachels. We probably should have thought about that in advance. Rachel H and Rachel S, I guess we'll have to say. But Rachel Hatfield is an experienced digital marketing professional and the Chief Operating Officer and co-founder of Shoe Social Media, who are a digital marketing company based here in Yorkshire. Rachel started out in the hotel and event management sector in Scotland and Australia and worked in that time in various places, Sydney and Edinburgh Castle as well, I believe. She transferred her project management and communication skills over into the digital marketing world with Shoe. She has a BA in International Hospitality Business Management from Leeds Beckett University and an MSc International Conference Management degree from Sheffield Hallam University. And she's in the final stages of her MBA here at Bradford University. Rachel Sammet joined the School of Management in September 2001 as a lecturer in marketing. She also leads the BSc Marketing Programme and is the programme lead for the Help to Grow Management Programme here at the University. Her experience comes from nearly a decade of consulting for digital marketing agencies across the UK and Canada, and as such her approach is not only practically focused but industry-led. Rachel holds an MBA and a BA in Business and Marketing Management from the University of Gloucester. Rachel holds an MBA and a BA in Business and Marketing Management from the University of Gloucestershire, along with an Advanced Diploma in Brand Management Specialisation from Seneca College in Canada. She's currently in the final stages of completing her PhD at the University of Bradford, focusing on the impact of voice-controlled smart assistants on consumer behaviour, and her research and teaching interests primarily revolve around artificial intelligence, consumer behaviour, and digital marketing. So, hi Rachel, it's great to have you both here. I'm conscious that I'm probably stopping you both doing things you should be doing, like finalising MBA dissertations and, and PhD theses. But so very much thank you for kind of giving up your time to talk to us about the topic today. And our topic today is around social media. So within the context of responsible management, what do we do in respect of social media? But perhaps if we could start off with the broader question, if I say responsible management, what does that mean to you? So Rachel Hatfield.
For me and for our company, it's very much about empowering our team, letting them make decisions and building that team culture where they're able to communicate with each other without feeling anxious. And that's really important as part of my career. That's something I've noticed, and that people don't want to communicate in that way. And I think it's really important that management have a good relationship with people they employ.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah. Jess?
So for me, responsible management, I kind of look at it from both an internal perspective, kind of as Rachel's just mentioned, you know, thinking of it in regards to how you deal with your employees, what kind of environment you facilitate. But then I also think of it from kind of an external perspective as well, and how you put yourself and your company forward, how you manage your company, and how you, as a marketer even, thinking it from that perspective, how you showcase the work that you're doing, not only from a social perspective, an ethical perspective, environmental perspective, but yeah, getting that out there and making sure it's a consideration that you take into account, not only internally, but externally as well.
Brilliant. Thank you both. So that brings us into thinking about social media, I guess, which is kind of the focus of the podcast today. And in terms of responsibility in social media, what's the kind of, you know, when we think about social media, what does responsible mean in that context?
I think for me and one of the workshops that I actually do training and teaching, it's very much about not getting involved in what we call flame wars. And as an individual, you need to be able to sort of manage those conversations in a balanced way, which is the key. Obviously, sometimes when you're on social media, it does go, you can see conversations going very heightened. But also from a business perspective, it's about remaining sort of neutral. We're very much about putting educational content out there to help people, because that's part of one of our core values of our business, is helping and supporting. And that's been key throughout our time. We try and avoid anything to do with political agendas or anything like that. It's not part of our sort of remit, and I think that's really important that we stay out of those things. It is about kind of social media and how to educate sort of other businesses and help support individuals as well.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think it's so important to remember that social media has allowed for this trialogue to open up, not only between yourselves, potential customers, you know, your existing customers, but you're also able to see conversations happening between customers and other customers, and being able to put content out there that is valuable is, I think, so important in today's day and age. And whether you're educating, whether you are, you know, raising awareness, it's so important to ensure that what you're putting out there, and from a responsible perspective, it's so important to ensure that what you're putting out there is valuable, it's informative. And if you are going to be taking part in any kind of, you know, political content or any kind of, I guess, specific areas that may be controversial, you have to make sure it's authentic to you and your company. You have to make sure what you're putting out there is correct in regards to the information that you're adding. And just remember that it's not only a conversation between yourselves and your customers, it's a conversation that can go much further and can continue to a whole trialogue and a whole variety of people. You're putting content out there that anyone can ultimately see. So make sure it's authentic, informative, and ultimately valuable and educational as well.
I think there's that transparency as well, which is really important. I've noticed that that's become like a really big word, especially across and sort of the younger sort of generations of Gen Zs of the world, that being transparent and authentic is definitely key words that I keep hearing.
Yeah.
Sort of they're probably, well, buzzwords, I suppose, but that's something that's really important, and that's something I try and instill into our team members as well, that they are transparent and authentic within any dialogue that's taken up on social media. So that's really important.
Definitely. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially when, you know, the internet has now allowed customers and just anyone on the internet to have all that information. Any information that they want, they likely have access to it. So it's so important that, yes, you're authentic, but you're also transparent, because there's been so many brands that, you know, get caught in lies and, you know, there's trouble all over the internet at all points in time. So if you're, you know, if you're transparent and you're authentic, hopefully you can avoid those kind of issues. So, yeah, definitely agree.
Yeah, I think the hardest part probably is if you are transparent, authentic, but someone has a very polarized view in terms of what you're wanting to talk about, it can be quite tricky not to kind of retaliate and build up that, I suppose, that flame war, as
we call it.
because you are so passionate about it. And we try and avoid those at all costs with any kind of social media conversations and keep it professional and just say thank you. A lot of the time when we are doing advertising on behalf of our clients, it's very much about not engaging and just hiding those comments where we can, which is really important, I think, just to kind of keep that professionalism. It is about being professional online still, having that conversation as though, like we are today, having a conversation together. It's just being respectful to each person and listening.
That's it, definitely.
So it feels a lot of this is about practice, about actually using social media as a channel.
Yeah.
I think that's the word we use. I'm not the marketeer in the room. I'm well out of my depth. And actually using that in the right kind of way and making sure that, yeah, as we would hope in any messaging that a firm's doing, that they're doing that in the right kind of way. I wonder about, you know, you mentioned it, Rachel Samet, about, you know, actually using kind of social media to push a responsible agenda and firms' kind of practices in that regard. Is there some things that we've mentioned authenticity already, or you've mentioned authenticity already, but what are the kind of things that firms should be looking for in trying to build a responsibility agenda through their social media?
I think it obviously comes down to, as we say, being authentic, but also knowing who your customers are and what they're going to respond well to. I think in a lot of cases, it also comes down to not just promoting your agenda for the sake of promoting it. Promote it for a reason, promote it to hopefully facilitate change or to inform people. So I think one thing that a lot of brands get caught up in is they want to be part of a conversation, or say, for instance, there's a current movement going on and they want to be part of that. If it's not something you can stand behind and you can openly provide value in and actively be part of the conversation, I think one thing a lot of them have to remember is to kind of move away from it and don't just be involved for the sake of being involved. Also know what your customers are going to likely respond well to, what they add value to and what they find valuable and what they want to see from you as a company. But then again, like I say, it has to be authentic. So if it's something you want to be a part of, if it's something you're passionate about, do it, but make sure you're providing that value and you're not just getting involved for the sake of getting involved or for the sake of being part of a trend, or, you know, having your social media post alongside every other brand who's doing it. Make sure it's something that responds well and resonates well with your company in itself. And then, of course, your customers and what they're hoping to see from you as well.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that. I just heard so many things. And I was just thinking in my head then that there's so many awareness days out there every brand, company, business can just literally jump on board or what we sort of call in the industry hijacking hashtags, which happens a lot. But I was just sat there thinking you could literally sort of jump on a conversation every day, because I think there's an awareness calendar out there which has got something going on, and it's crazy. But it's about picking what's, I suppose it's going back to that about brand marketing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What is important to your brand and making sure that's coming out in the communication across your social media channels, which mm-hmm. is really important. There's definitely causes in terms of how our brand is managed and what people know when they come to our office. We're very sort of outdoorsy people, so that brand messaging does come across in our social media communication. So we've got that cause and that passion. We try, when we're working clients, we try and encourage them to kind of demonstrate what their brand values are and come out, and a lot of behind the scenes stuff when we're volunteering as well, as we try and encourage all our kind of team members to sort of volunteer and demonstrate that, which I think is really that action, that transparency is coming out through that.
Definitely. And I think it also comes down to knowing your business, know what your values are, know what your mission is, and clearly have that defined, because that will give you a good understanding of where you can provide value and what conversations you want to be a part in, like you mentioned. I think it's about knowing your business, knowing your environment. And I keep talking about value, but it's so important. Find out where you can provide value, especially on social media, where there's hundreds of thousands of posts every single day. Find where you can actively engage and actively be a part of what's going on.
Given that volume of activity in social media, obviously a big challenge is cutting through that noise.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of any examples of good or bad practice that have cut through the noise, that are kind of examples of the kind of things that we should or shouldn't be doing even?
I think it's one example that I absolutely love is Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And they do so much in regards to corporate social responsibility, but they do it in such a way where it's authentic to what they are about as a company. It's authentic to their values and their mission and their brand in itself. And I think that really resonates well with consumers, whether they are active consumers or potential consumers, because I think that's what it comes down to. If customers or, you know, viewers can see that you are passionate about something and it fits with your ethos and your company's mission, I think that makes all the difference and that can help you stand out. They also provide really valuable content. So it's not just posting about an issue. They, you know, push for change and they push for engagement, which I think makes a big difference as well. It's not just content for the sake of content, which I think a lot of brands don't do well. I think they're a great example of brands that are doing it well. I think Dove does it quite well as well. They do quite a lot, don't they, in regards to kind of social responsibility, and they talk on a lot of like body image type things. They do a lot to help really push their agenda, but they do it in a really, really good way. So yeah, I think both are great examples of it done well and done right.
We predominantly work within the SME sector, and we try and encourage people to bring that brand across in that authentic way, depending on sort of whether it's from sort of demonstrating what their teams are doing through mental health issues, the volunteering side of things, behind the scenes, people want to know what's going on, and making sure that brand is actually actioning those values. Mm-hmm. And that's hugely important, I believe. And we very much about, I mean, it is my business, so I've got like a bit more flexibility in terms of branding, but very much about, there are sort of days that are coming up that we're heavily female, so International Women's Day is really important to us as a business, and demonstrating those values. We're getting involved with another small business within Yorkshire, but to sort of amalgamate sort of photography and stuff like that to demonstrate sort of women in business across the region, which is great. So that's hugely important. So demonstrating that sort of,
you mentioned working with SMEs predominantly. I wonder about, you know, is social media a mechanism that allows SMEs to get messages out more easily, more effectively? Does it level the playing field with bigger corporate kind of partners? And back to that kind of authenticity question, is a local message from an SME a stronger message? That's a leading question, I guess. Or a better message? That's a challenging question. Than one that we might get from a kind of a corporate firm that you know has come from the social media manager sat in an office, wherever that might be.
Yeah, I think it's that's an interesting question, because obviously as a smaller business, it's harder to cut through the noise because you don't have that big brand behind you. Like we were discussing about Dove, they've got that big brand identity already there, and people know and follow automatically because that's something they're interested in. But as a smaller business, I definitely think that it's given everybody a voice and more affordable. You don't have to go into TV advertising anymore. There is that opportunity there to grow a brand from startup, from a seed, and grow it basically. And I think that's the the good thing about social media, there's an opportunity there for people to find new brands and follow them if it's something they resonate with. That is definitely something that's happening, and I'm seeing a lot more of it. It is harder. There's a lot of noise now. When we set up a business 9 years ago, it was a lot quieter, but the noise is getting louder, and I just think it's just going to grow even more.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think one thing as well for SMEs is they're able to kind of start to facilitate that feeling of a community. And the content and the content they put out there is going to be all quite authentic. But the people that follow them on social media too, you know, Dove will have hundreds of thousands of followers that maybe pay attention to one or two posts. Smaller businesses will likely have a smaller community, a smaller following, but those people will likely actively be quite interested in what they're doing and what they're putting out there. I guess it's kind of comparable to like micro-influencers. You know, they might not have a massive following, but the people who follow them are interested in what they have to say and what they're all about. So I think for smaller businesses, it's just a great way to really start building that relationship with your customers, building a community and letting that trialogue begin and slowly seeing it snowball from there, hopefully.
So start with the relationship and not worry about the reach. That will come, I guess, as you grow.
I think so. Yeah, everyone definitely wants to be part of a community, don't they? And if they see one that they can resonate with, they see a strong community that's slowly building and the snowball effect begins and it starts growing, growing, growing. But I think if it's an authentic, strong community and the brand has a good relationship with their customers, people are going to be attracted to that and they're going to want to be a part of something as they go.
Definitely. I agree with that. I think it's about building your tribe. As I think a lot of sort of branding experts or personal branding experts talk about building your tribe and building that community and that sense of belonging as well. And I think then probably the key one for sort of in our region is probably Yorkshire Day, where everybody just gets involved and it's a really nice community. Everyone wants to be part of it. They want to promote our region and what's good about it. And I think it's interesting how everyone just sort of falls into that community development of just that voice out there and puts Yorkshire on the map just for one day a year. We've got some good things going on here, so I think it's important.
That's it, definitely.
I'm just cutting into the podcast to tell you a little bit about the offer that we have for businesses locally as part of the business and community engagement support. We have our Knowledge Transfer Network, that's regular networking events where you can come on campus, meet like-minded people, hear from some of our and leading industry experts. We have our Bradford Business Challenge projects, where we have students coming out and working with you and supporting the work that you do. We have our consultancy clinic, where we have students delivering on short-term small projects for businesses as well. There's also lots of ways that you can engage with and interact with our students as guest lecturers, as mentors on some of our entrepreneurship programs and through involvement in the curriculum. And equally, from a research perspective, we can work with you on collaborative research. If you think there's something we can help with, please reach out to us at BACE, that's base BACE, at bradford.ac.uk. Thank you, and now back to the podcast. If I come back slightly to, we talked at least in passing about stakeholders. So you talked about obviously the firm and customers and kind of employees. I might come back to the employees in a second, but I actually wanted just, I was thinking as you were both talking about the channels themselves. So, you know, this is where I start to show my age and ignorance with social media. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and ones beyond that. The ones that my kids usually laugh at me if I even mention them when I'm in the house. Now, obviously, you know, fairly recent times there's been a change of ownership at Twitter, and that seems to have affected people's engagement with Twitter and, dare we say, trust. Well, I'll say it, trust in Twitter. And I just wondered, if you had any thoughts about the integrity of those mechanisms or channels within the social space.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, social media is one where one day a platform is huge and the next day there's something brand new and it's constantly going to be evolving, constantly going to be moving. So if it's one of those where, you know, if you are going to be using it, first of all, make sure you're using it for a reason. Is that where your target market's going to be? Is it worth it for you to even be on it, first and foremost? Second of all, if, you know, you are going to be on it, understand that you are one of many. There are hundreds of thousands of people on those platforms. Like we say, you can't control what kind of content is out there other than what you put out yourself. So, of course, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be distrust of users on those platforms. But ultimately, you can kind of you know, really just focus on what you are putting out there and making sure your content is trustworthy. Your content is, as we say, authentic and valuable, because, you know, those platforms are constantly changing. There's hundreds of thousands of different corners of TikTok, and Snapchat does this and that, and Instagram now sells products. So it's constantly changing, constantly evolving. And it's just making sure that your presence is authentic to you more so than anything, and trustworthy for the people that you want to engage with.
Yeah, definitely. I do agree with that. It's about where your target audience is and what products you're selling, mm-hmm. I suppose, and who your target market is, and who all those nice things that are really important. I think change is always really challenging for some people. Twitter's an interesting platform because people love it. I have a love-hate relationship. I think I remember when it first came out, and now I'm showing my age, and I just people were like, what is this? And he's like trying to get across, like, what is microblogging to people? And it feels like a lot of people are still using it to absorb like national media news, so following what's happening, sort of news headlines and stuff, rather than kind of an approach to kind of actually using it to try and sort of be an influencer on there. But what's interesting is a lot more professionals use it, especially when they're going to a conference, want to join a conversation, and that seems to be quite an interesting sort of platform for that, especially for industry professionals. We have a company that works in the healthcare sector, and it's very much about that is their platform to engage with other healthcare professionals on there. So it really is, I think they will still use it, because I think you're a bit more mindful on sort of Twitter, what you put out there, because it is so public. Whereas when you're sort of on Facebook, it's a very different audience. And also an audience that is getting older, because we're naturally all getting older, which unfortunately I sat thinking in the car today. Do we need to, I had a client in last week and she was like, do I need to be on TikTok? And I was like, well, it depends where your audience is and who you want to talk to. She has a product that is going to be for all generations eventually. So when it does come out, she'll need to be able to talk to everybody, because they'll be, as different generations go into the workforce, she needs to be able to talk to those people.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think it, like you say, it's choosing where your audience is going to be and being authentic on that platform, making sure that your content is always changing. So as long as your content's trustworthy and you're pleased with it, your customers are pleased with it, I think that's the best you can do.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to my kids that there were platforms that existed before things like Facebook. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were gosh, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Was it Find My Friend? Was that yeah. what I did? Since you're out, it mainly seemed to be old school friends or old school acquaintances that you didn't necessarily want to hear from. But
that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's constantly evolving, and we need to keep up with that, definitely. Mm-hmm. Come back to employees specifically, because I think there's some quite interesting and some quite high profile cases of how social media has affected people's employment relationships. Mm-hmm. So James Gunn and Disney is the one that springs into my mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I guess that begs the question about how, as employees, do we have a responsibility to our organisations in respect of our social media use and practice? Is it private or is it public? I guess that's the question.
I think one thing I talk about with my students quite a lot is the uses of social media. So we kind of go through the official use of social media, where you're posting on behalf of your company. There's the professional use, where you're posting on behalf of yourself, but it's in a professional perspective. And then there's the private use, which is your own personal social media accounts. Now, with social media, regardless of if you private your page, you're putting information out there, whether you are promoting a brand in itself, whether you are promoting your own brand, you're putting content out there, and you have to consider content can exist forever. The digital sphere is so big, regardless of if you know, we've seen so many people out there get caught up on tweets from 10 years ago or Instagram posts that they've archived, but someone screenshotted, and you know, regardless, your content is going to be put out there for people to see. And of course, if you are an employee or you're a student or whoever you are, and you're operating on behalf of your company or on behalf of a professional network, whatever it is, or on behalf of yourself, you have to be mindful of what you're putting out there, because content never dies. Content is out there almost forever. So it's something to keep in mind. But I think, I think from an employee perspective, I think definitely you are ultimately, hopefully your goal should be aligned with your company's. So hopefully what you're putting out there isn't drastically different. But I think even if it is, you have to be very clear that these are your thoughts and you're not representing your company at this point in time. There's different uses, but ultimately content's content, and content is almost forever. So something to keep in mind.
that digital footprint is definitely mm-hmm. here to stay. It's something I talk about a lot, and it's definitely not going away. And I think again, I agree with you. It's all very much about being responsible, being professional on there. And sometimes things just don't need to be on social media, even if it's your private accounts. And people don't need to see it there. That's definitely a good thing. And I think sometimes it's just about sort of taking the platform and thinking, right, okay, what am I going to do with this? And there are some really good companies. There's a law firm over in Leeds that do encourage their teams to be on there, and they kit them out, and they make sure they've got professional photography and sort of brand like banners and stuff like that. And they're really good at communicating their thoughts and stuff and the content that they put out there. And you never really see anything too damaging. And I think they've empowered their employees to take that responsibility as part of their brand, which is really good. They are becoming that law firm that everybody wants to go and work for because they have got that empowerment to take that responsibility, which is interesting.
Well, that's quite an interesting example, because I had a question around the extent to which firms should monitor social media use on behalf of employees, but that almost takes it beyond that, doesn't it? So, well, no, we're going to help you manage it effectively so that we don't have to monitor that.
Yeah, definitely. And the stuff that they put out there, the whole team, but also it comes from, I suppose, senior leadership and the partners of that firm. They are very good at putting things out there. I mean, they do a lot of like marketing across the board in terms of they're everywhere, wherever you walk. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I like about them. It is coming from someone, the leadership team, and they put things out that are part of their brand. They sponsor like sort of football teams and things like that. They talk about their sport and they have a little bit of fun with it on their personal side, but the brand side of their social media accounts is very much about kind of what they're up to, very much educational content that's authentic. And I think that's going back to what we spoke about earlier, that responsible management. If that sort of senior person is putting something out there on social media, then the rest of the team, it will drop. And it's about good leadership, completely different thing, but it's about sort of managing those teams.
It's great to see the interface, isn't it? That's about the leadership managing social media in a way that actually enables people to manage it effectively. You know, that feels like responsible management to me. That's a great example.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one thing I've noticed as well is within kind of the marketing agency world is there's this big focus right now on thought leaders and showcasing your employees and using them as the face of your company. And it's almost down to a point now where it's part of people's jobs to be on social media as a thought leader. If you are in a management position or in a higher position, you're obviously good at your job and you want to be able to share that information as part of your job. I've seen a lot of agencies now using their creative directors or their, I don't know, heads of SEO or things like that to be writing content or to be blogging or speaking at events. But a lot of it's done over social media and it's now become part of their role. So I think if it is something that's going to be integrated into your every single day and your everyday, you know, activities, it has to be something that companies are monitoring as well, because they'd monitor the rest of your role, the rest of your job to a certain extent. If they want you to be on social, they should be monitoring what you're doing and giving you those guidelines as well.
Yeah, definitely. There's so many things that companies are doing, and I think it is just empowering your employees to make sure that they are broadcasting content that is relatable to, I suppose, your business, your company brand, but also to their own personal brand. We encourage like our team members to go on social media and talk about kind of what's going on in industry, and I think that's really important to them, to be part of that team and building a brand, building a company that people want to come and work for is also important as well. It demonstrates our company culture.
Yeah.
Well, I hope she knows. Not to put anything too controversial. She's very good like that. I mean, she does her weekly videos and stuff like that, and she films them all. So she's all over our Instagram account and TikTok account, which is great. People can relate to her, which is good. And I think the fact that that kind of generation, they come and talk to her, they message her on LinkedIn rather than coming to sort of us as directors of the business and stuff, which is nice to see that she's building up that network in her early career. And I do encourage that.
Brilliant. So I'm conscious we're probably in a room of enthusiasts. How do we convince people that are a bit more reluctant or skeptical about the value of social media, or less kind of confident in terms of kind of thinking and kind of managing these issues?
Interesting. Yeah, we we do have that challenge as a business when we're talking to clients. And my business partner is really good at talking to them because he talks a lot about return on investment, which is the most important thing for any sort of business owner. If they're going to invest in this, what do I get back? So he's very much, he talks about the monetary value of getting that ROI, which is important for them. We did quite a few projects, and including one at the Uni of Bradford, on the non-digital native and how they react with social media, which was really interesting. And that's been one of our challenges in terms of speaking to these people who are very sceptical about it. They're very much, one of the words that they used when we were having a conversation, when we were sort of pitching for some work, they actually went down the line of saying, well, we just need boots on the ground, and telemarketing is the way we've always done it and we'll always do it this way. So we were a bit like, and I think our younger team members were a bit like, what's this about? What's telemarketing in their eyes? Whereas, because they're constantly on social media, whereas for us, I was kind of in that crossover generation where sort of the internet was coming into the play of work, and I understand where they're coming from, but they're a hard generation to kind of win over. They have been, but once it's fruitful for them and they see that return, they're fine. Really good. Yeah. Loyal is probably the best way to describe
them. Some benefits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think it also comes down to making sure that they manage their expectations and that they have a very clear definition of what they want to achieve with social media. I've seen a lot of companies jump on the social media trend because it's there and because they feel like they have to have that presence. And they go in thinking that, you know, they're going to get hundreds of thousands of followers and they're going to, you know, see a massive increase in ROI and so on and so forth. But that's not, you know, it's not always viable. So manage your expectations, know how you want to be using those platforms more so than anything. And then we mentioned it before, are you going to be on social media because that's where your potential customers are, your target market's going to be? So it's understanding, like, yes, social media is a fantastic tool for marketing, but it's not the be all and end all. And if it is something that's right for you, know how you want to use it and know what, you know, manage your expectations ultimately. But, you know, if you have those down pat and it's the right decision for you, there's such potential with social media. So it's just keeping that in mind and planning accordingly and strategically before jumping into it.
Definitely. I was just having a little giggle there just because some of the words that about managing expectations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going to get millions of followers overnight. I think those days have definitely gone. They were the early days of social media. And I think sometimes they're going to get millions of pounds just overnight as soon as you put your first post out. And it's like, it doesn't quite work. Like, whether it's a paid advertising campaign or organic social media. Yeah, it's definitely, it doesn't come overnight. It takes time and it does need to knit into the rest of your marketing plan, but also your business plan, and overall, what is your business goal? What are you looking to achieve? And that's something we have to kind of sort of look at when we're talking to them. And why do you want to be on this channel? Just because everybody else says, oh right, okay, what are you talking, who's your audience? And then when you start sort of drilling down in terms of the age categories, who they're targeting, it's like, what, you don't need to be on there. Focus and have that focus, especially in the SME world where budgets are a little bit more limited. They can't be on every platform, so they have to kind of have that focus.
So we're starting to talk, I think, about the kind of the practical advice for firms and SMEs seeking to develop their kind of social media and responsible approaches to social media. It's know your market, it's recognised that it's impactful in a certain way. What other advice would you give?
I think for me, it's to remember that you are in control of your feed. You're in control of the content that you put out there. And ultimately, if you are going to be putting content out there, we've talked about authenticity throughout the whole podcast. Make sure it's authentic to you, but also make sure it's valuable. One thing I talk about with my students a lot, and I've discussed this with brands over my career, is making sure that what you are putting out there is providing value to your customers at every point throughout their customer journey. Whether it's, you know, your aim is to raise brand awareness, there's so many ways you can use social media to do that. Whether you're looking to convert, there's ways you can use content to do that too. But ultimately, everyone's on social media for a reason. And if you want to stand out, be authentic, be your true self in regards to what your company is all about, and make sure you're providing value.
It's definitely about building that community that's out there, building that tribe, that sense of belonging. And again, we're all, the content that we put out on our social media feeds as a business is very much about educational content, giving people tips to help them with their social media. They may not be able to or have budgets to kind of come and work with us, but we've got like tips there that can help them and build that tribe, which is really important to us as part of our values as a business.
Brilliant. Thank you both. My final question is a slightly different question. Mm-hmm. We're asking this of everybody who contributes to the podcast series. So who's your management hero, personal or professional, somebody who's inspired or influenced you in your career?
I've thought about this a little bit, and I don't think there is a specific person that I could kind of, you know, say has been the biggest inspiration. I think for me, I take a lot of inspiration from marketing teams and the works that they do. And I think marketing in itself and social media marketing is so collaborative. There's so much behind it. There's so much strategy behind it. And it takes a lot. It takes a tribe to build something special. So I think for me, I take a lot of influence and a lot of creativity from some of the teams that are out there. So I think one that I've been really kind of blown away by over the past couple of years is the Aldi marketing team. They have done such a great job to take their brand and just kind of personify it in this fun and exciting and kind of cheeky way on social media. And I think they're doing a fantastic job of really, really doing things well in a very disruptive and a different way, but a fun, disruptive and different way. So I think it's, for me, it's more so marketing teams and the work that they come up with. There's a few, you know, CEOs of smaller brands and SMEs that I think are quite interesting, but mostly it comes down to the teams and the works that they do collaboratively more so than anything.
Yeah, for me, I've always been inspired by the people that have kind of managed me throughout my career, I think, from starting off on my GCSE work experience. There was she's now a regional HR manager, but she's always been there to kind of, she's always inspired me to kind of keep going. And then a lot of the time, some of the local businesses here in Yorkshire, some of the business owners that run these businesses were my inspiration to kind of set out and set up on my own as well. And I built a tribe when I moved back to Yorkshire of people that were working in the SME world, and they've just been brilliant. That the stories that they tell and share, they've been really inspirational, and they've even started to, when we set up, I've started to work with some of these people as well, which has been really nice, and I've built some really good relationships. So probably more of a personal thing to me rather than like a big kind of sort of corporate person who inspires me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, both. Thank you for those insights and the insights over the course of the conversation. It's been great. If people want to reach out to you, how can they get in touch? Rachel Hatfield?
Yep, they can drop me an email. They can reach out to me on social media or even connect with me on LinkedIn. So that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I'm the same. Social media, LinkedIn, probably best. And then, of course, my university email address, always open to emails to continue the discussion.
Brilliant. Thank you. If you want to reach out to me, it's at Dave P. Spicer. If you want to follow the School of Management on social media, it's at Brad Management. And if you've got any questions for us about business and community engagement activities here at the university, it's BACE, base at bradford.ac.uk. Thank you very much, both. Thank you.
Thank you.